This morning, folks, we come and we know that we've been talking about this series that we've been doing, and we've been talking about the prophet, the priest, and the king. And next Sunday, we'll talk about Jesus as the Lamb. And so this morning, we will be talking about the king, Jesus being the king. You know, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him into your heart, if you know him and have a relationship with him, you know for a fact that he is king of your life. He is not only king of your life, he's king of everything, the whole world over. But folks, as we look at the story this morning of Jesus being the king, we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see that just as today, we see that everybody that I call above us, they struggle wanting more power, more power, more power. And that's what was happening at that given time. The king was worried that Jesus would come and that he would be a true heir to the throne. King Herod was not a true heir to the throne. He was not really even supposed to be there. And he was afraid that if somebody figured out that he was really not the one that was supposed to be there, he would get replaced. And so he was not wanting to give up his power. And we're going to take a look at how when Jesus came as the king, all he could imagine was that he would be king of... I'm going to move this thing because I'm going to knock it over, Kenny, on your mantling. And that's not going to be good. But I gotta walk around. Maybe I've got room now. I'm sorry I got to walk around, but I got to. But so we know that we have this the picture of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and we see that these men are arriving from the eastern land. And I think about, folks, today we know that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back again. And when he comes back again, will he come back and we'll just see him from the eastern sky? That's what it tells us. But just stop and think a minute. What if he came like he came as a babe? What if he came where we had to search him out, where we would not see him as the Bible tells us as him coming in the eastern sky, where we will all know who he is? We won't have to wonder. Would we have searched him out when he was born as a babe? Or would we have just blown it all off like we do everything else? Would we search him out today if he came? How much would we be intrigued by his birth today? You see, when we stop and we look at it like these guys that travel from the east, we're going to see in the scripture, when we look at it from these guys traveling from the east, I don't think they had any chrome bumpers. I don't think they had anything like that. I think all they had was just something tied on their feet for a sandal. And yet they traveled and walked and traveled so far to come and to see the king, because this is what we read in Jeremiah. It was going to be prophesied that this king would come. And then God has showed the magi, the wise men, where the king would be. He said, follow the star. Let's start with the scripture, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, and during the reign of King Herod, about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, and you will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview with the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, as we think about Jesus being born as the King, our King, as the King of the world, he was prophesied. It was Micah 2:5-2 that we was reading right there. The prophecy of the King that would come. They knew this. The wise men had heard this prophecy. They knew the Old Testament readings and Scripture, and they knew that this King would come one day. And so when they figured it out that Jesus had been born, and they heard that the Messiah was going to be born and had been born, then they set out on a long journey to come and to see Jesus. The wise men did. They brought gifts to him. And so we see that as the Scripture was telling us that when the wise men arrived from the eastern lands in Jerusalem, they were asking, where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw the star as it rose. Folks, this is no different than us seeing a new baby governor, you might say, being born in Tennessee, and us going to Nashville to find out where's the baby born. We want to see him. And we get to Nashville, and what are we going to do? We're going to the governor's house to ask him, where is the new governor born? And when they did, it was such a shock to him that he said, this baby born that's going to take my place? You know, nobody wants to give up their power, do they? King Herod did not want to give up his power. And so he begins to inquire about this baby, this king that has been born. He didn't realize and he didn't understand that Jesus wasn't interested in the seat that he had, in the throne that he had. Jesus wasn't interested in that at all. Jesus had his own throne in heaven. He didn't understand anything about Jesus. Folks, today, we people today do not understand anything about Jesus as a majority. There's very few people that truly understand Jesus and seek out Jesus. So we ask ourselves today, if it was up to us, and Jesus had given us a star to follow and given us the words to follow that star, and we're living in Tennessee, and it happens to be in Alaska, we would be from the east, if that's where it was at, I guess. And would we go? Would we walk all the way there to see the King? No, I'm old, Brandon. I can't walk that far. I tell you what you do. You go on up there and check him out and let me know how it all works out for you. You know, ain't that the way I'd be? Yeah, it'd be the way I'd be. We'd all be waiting on somebody to take that trip for us that could come back and report to who it is and what it is. Well, that's what was happening. They get there and ask the King Herod about the baby. King Herod said, I don't know, but when you find out, you be sure to come back and let me know so I can go and worship him as well. What a lie, folks. What a lie. We hear it all the time. We turn the TV on, you hear a lie. You just got so used to it, you don't even think nothing about it anymore. But that's just what he was wanting to do, was to find this baby. If he could find this baby, then he could have him killed. And if he could have him killed, he wouldn't have to worry about his throne, about anyone figuring out who he really was and what he was really there to do. So he asked them to please come back and tell me when you figure out where this baby is, the king, baby Jesus. You know, when I was reading this, it comes to mind, everybody watched cartoons when we was growing up. A lot of you kids, you didn't have the cartoons we had, but that old coyote, he chased that roadrunner and chased him, old Wiley the coyote, you know, and he chased him and chased him and chased him, and he never could catch him. And this is the way I thought about, you know, Herod. He chased where the baby was. He was slick like a fox. He was conniving. He was like the coyote. He done everything in the world. He even went as far as to kill the babies around a certain amount of miles around, from 2-year-old down. Folks, this is something that's hard for us to know and to understand. How in the world could anyone kill all the baby boys because they did not want to give up their power? Because they were the king. Because I do not want to give up being king. I don't want anybody growing up to be king. I'm going to have everybody killed around me so that this, I will make sure this doesn't happen. As I was thinking about the coyote chasing the roadrunner and how that this, he never caught him, but the roadrunner, he didn't really have any authority over anything except he could just run faster than the coyote. That's all he had to do, was just be able to outrun the coyote. But the coyote wanted what the roadrunner had. He went special effort to catch the coyote so he could be the one that would be the greatest. Not the roadrunner, not the coyote. So the coyote would be the greatest. I mean, what is it, folks, we think we're king of? We all think we have our own little empire built. We all think we're the king of our own little empire, and we do not want to give it up. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything in the world that we have put together, or we just call home because we have a real good recliner, and we just call that our throne, and we don't want to give up anything about anything that's going to make us uncomfortable. The discomfort of this world, being out into this world, we don't want any part of it. And so this is what I was looking at when I was thinking about today. It went on and it talks about, after Herod had called the private meeting with the wise men, you know, we know that he was lying, wanting them to come back. But he sent them out searching for the baby. And they went out on looking for the baby. And it says, after this interview with the wise men, when they went their way, and a star had seen, they had seen this star in the east that guided them to Bethlehem, it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So let's think about that just for a minute, folks. They are searching for the king. They are in search for the baby. Today, how do we look at Jesus? We look at Jesus thinking that, if I don't know who Jesus is, I'm a lost sinner, I'm in this world, well, Jesus will find me. Jesus will find me. And when he does, you know what? He's going to have a wonderful gift for me. And why would we think that? Because we've been taught that way. And that's not necessarily the way, folks. That is a lie. We search out Jesus Christ. Do you search Jesus Christ? Do you search for him every day, every morning, every evening, every night? Do we search for him? No, we don't. We wait for him to come to us. We wait for him to bring us a gift. He'll have a gift of salvation when we search him out. But folks, they were searching for Jesus. And when they found him, they followed this star. And when they found him, they give him gifts. They didn't ask him for any gift. They gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which they all have meanings very much so in the scripture. And we know that the gold could have very easily been used as they had to leave and go to Egypt. They could have very easily used the gold for their trip there and back. We don't know how it all worked out, but we know that it could have been. We know the frankincense was a gift for the deity of Christ, and we know the myrrh, as he would have been placed upon the cross and his body taken down, he used it to wrap his body and to keep his body from smelling. So we see all of this as being a gift that would be for our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what I took from this, folks, is the fact that when we search Jesus, when we search for Jesus, and we not, as a Christian, as a person, we haven't, taken on the role as being a Christian, and we're searching for Jesus, and we find him. We find Jesus. And you know what happens when we find Jesus? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. When you find Jesus Christ, you're going to have a different way about you. You're going to be different when you find Jesus. You accept him into your heart, you're going to be different. And you know what else is going to happen? He's going to change the direction of your life. It's going to change. He may be calling you then to walk to Alaska. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? When he says, okay, Mike, let's get your backpack, let's go. Are we going? You see, when he calls, when we find Jesus and we know Jesus and we build this relationship with Jesus, he calls each and every one of us to something. And it's going to change your life. It's going to change the direction of your life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to accept him and to be willing to change your life? Give up your friends? Give up the things that you enjoy? Are you willing to do that? Folks, it's Christmas. It's time we give gifts of things that people like and enjoy. We like to bless our families and our friends with gifts that they enjoy. But I'm telling you that Jesus is going to give you a gift of salvation, but he is going to call you to change your life. The gift that he is going to give you is going to require something of you. Are you interested? It's kind of like saying, well, I'm getting up a busload to go to heaven. But everybody say, that's good, Mike, but put me on tomorrow. Don't want to go today. You know, we always got another day. We need another day. It could be that you'd have a week. You may have another 100 years. Who knows? But, folks, your life will change. And you will not only, you would say, be required to do something for the Lord. You'll want to do something for the Lord. You will want to hear him. You will want to see the star. You will want to follow him in whatever direction he's pulling you and sending you. That's what these people done. They were searching out Jesus. When they found him, they give him gifts. When they found him, he changed the direction of their life. And because they desired to follow him, their lives changed 100%. And old Herod, God says to the wise men, he says, them boys, let me tell you, don't go back the way you came. Let's go a different way. Because this dude is lying to you. He does not care anything about Jesus. All he's interested in is having him killed. And today, folks, in the world that we live in, we're seeing more and more and more of people not caring anything about Jesus. Anything. We see it on TV each and every day. They say, if you're in love with Jesus, you need to go somewhere else. You don't need to be here. If Jesus is your Savior, you belong down the street. Don't get in our crowd. We don't want to be accounted in our crowd. As I delivered the last box yesterday, there was a lady that told me that she had been to, she had lost a loved one, and she had been to some grief counseling, and she said one of the ladies there had lost her husband, and she said she was so mad at God, and she didn't want to talk about anything but being mad at God, and she said, "Whoo, that scared me," and she said, "I come home, and I don't want to have anything to do with that again." You see, folks, we are all stay partially mad at God about something when we really search our hearts. This Christmas, this gift that God has for us, His Savior that He sent to us, His Son Jesus, I want you to know and understand that God, you may have something in your heart that you can't get settled with God. You don't feel 100% that God has done you right. You may have that in your heart, but yet you're here today. That's the most wonderful thing, because when you're here today, that means you're still searching. You're still searching for that little piece that you haven't found. Folks, it's called, as Brian said Wednesday night, total surrender. That's what it's called. When you give total surrender to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, when you give total surrender to Him and you have nothing in front of Him, then your life will come together. Your life will come together. God will change your direction of your life, and you will have a whole new life in front of you. Now, you may not like it. You may say, "Lord, I give up everything I had," kind of like Peter did. You know, what's the deal? I've give up my family. I've give up everything, Lord. But folks, let me tell you, it's not about this world that we're living in today. It's about the kingdom that's coming. It's about the kingdom that He has built. It's about Him being Christ the King, and Him being on the throne, and us being there with Him. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine giving up and bringing Him gifts and thanking Him and praising Him the day that we get to stand before Him? I don't know, folks. I sometimes see the things that we look at in this world and how we look at them, and how we are so spoiled, like I said a week or two ago. We're so spoiled, and we want things to be our way, and if it's not our way, then we're being mistreated. And folks, that is just not true. God loves us so, so much that He sent His Son, the King of all kings, and He lived here on this earth. And He lived here and died upon this earth for our sin, for my sin, and for your sin. Can you even grasp that? And then we know that one day we will be in His presence forever. You know, the day we walk through to be in His presence, can you imagine what it's going to be like to see Him face to face? If that scares you, if that bothers you, then you need to work on your relationship with Him, because it's going to be the most glorious, wonderful thing that's ever happened to any of us. It's going to be beautiful. And we have nothing but to take with us from this earth. We can't take one thing with us. But when we get there, we can praise Him and thank Him and give him glory for dying on that cross, that we can have eternal life. I pray today, folks, as you see Jesus as your King, the King that will take you not only through this world, but through the world to come, the next, through heaven itself. All of the rest of our days, he will be King over us. We will be able to sit at his feet. I'll be able to sing. I mean, a while ago, Brian singing in my ear, that was beautiful. I just wished I could open my mouth and it go right through, and kind of like electricity does, but it won't. But he can sing and I can't. But you know, one day I may be leading the choir. You know, who knows? Who knows? You know what I mean? Irvin will even be shocked when he gets there. But folks, we have so much this Christmas season to be so thankful for. And the most of all is for God to send his son Jesus. As we celebrate Christmas, we're in anticipation of another, 10 days or so before it gets here. But as we wait, and kiddos, as we wait, we got a whole lot to wait for. As we wait for the celebration of the birth of Christ. And someday, we will all get to sit at his feet. Those who know him and those who love him, those who have proclaimed him as our King, as our Lord and Savior, we will be there with him. What a wonderful Christmas gift it is to offer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.